Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SAMHI Hotels Limited Q3 and 9 months FY25 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jakhanwala, MD and CEO of SAMHI Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to SAMHI Hotels' earnings call for the quarter ending December 31, 2024. I have with me today Rajat Mehra, who's the CFO, Gyana, who is EVP and Head of Investments, Nakul Manaktala, who's VP of Investments. We also have on call our investor relations advisors, Strategic Growth Advisors. We have uploaded our Q3 FY25 financials and presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. To begin with, I will request my colleague Rajat to give us a summary of our financial performance, after which I will give you a small brief on business, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Rajat, over to you.
Thank you, Ashish, and good afternoon, everyone. It gives me immense pleasure to announce SAMHI's financial performance for the quarter ending December 31, 2024. Starting off, I would like to point out that this is the first quarter when both the current quarter and year-on-year comparable quarter have full consolidation of ACIC portfolio, given the August 2023 acquisition date. Our asset income, which captures the revenue generated from our hotels, stood at INR 296 crores, registering a year-on-year growth of 10% as compared to the same quarter last year. This growth is driven by same-store assets delivering a strong RevPAR growth of 15% year-on-year. The ACIC portfolio had muted revenue growth, as we have currently focused on completing the transition from Marriott franchise to Marriott managed, coupled with fixing the cost structure. We have, with those initiatives completed, our focus for ACIC portfolio now shall solely be towards increased market penetration and revenue growth during financial year 2026. Our asset EBITDA, which captures hotel-level profitability, stood at INR 122 crores for the current quarter, registering a year-on-year growth of 13% as compared to the same quarter last year. Asset EBITDA margins stood at 41.2%, demonstrating a 90 basis points year-on-year improvement. ACIC portfolio margins stand now at 39.4% for the quarter, which should move towards 40% or so going forward in Q4 financial year 25. We have seen material reduction in net corporate G&A and ESOP expense, both at INR 4.4 crores each. On the basis of this, I'm happy to report that our reported consolidated EBITDA stood at INR 113 crores for the current quarter, registering a 25% year-on-year growth as compared to the same quarter last year. Consolidated margins do have reached to 37.9%, with headroom for further margin expansion going forward. Depreciation expense has been stable at INR 29 crores. We have one of our pre-IPO high-cost loans during the quarter, which has been refinanced and could result in an annual saving of INR 16 crores. However, this comes with a non-cash accounting entry related to the write-off of the upfront fees paid prior to the takeover of the loan. This has inflated our reported finance costs by 6.5 crores to 62 crores. All in, our reported PAT stood at INR 23 crores. Adjusted to non-cash finance cost entry, our PAT would have been circa INR 30 crores. From a capital structure perspective, our net debt as on December 31, 2024, stood at about INR 2,060 crores, with a cost of debt of 9.4%. The quarter-on-quarter increase in net debt on account of growth on account of growth capex that we have incurred for the acquisition of the Trinity Hotel in Bangalore, Holiday Inn Express additional rooms, and W Hotel developments. Our operating assets are now at a trailing 12 months net debt to EBITDA of 4.3x after adjusting to the growth capex that has been incurred. With that, I shall now request Ashish to take us through the market and the business update.
Thank you, Rajat. As Rajat mentioned, we witnessed a fairly strong 15% RevPAR growth for same-store assets. This was a result of continued demand from an expanding office market across our key cities and a record passenger movement of 77 million passengers during the last quarter. New hotel supply continues to remain very low in key cities and creates a perfect environment for RevPAR growth. Bangalore and Hyderabad, two of our key markets, and also the markets where we are adding new inventory, continue to see robust office space growth and a strong increase in airline passengers. The amount of investment and interest that the tech sector is getting alongside Global Capability Center will continue to boost demand in these cities. Bangalore benefits from a very large base, and while Hyderabad, we feel, has phenomenal infrastructure in place. As we see continued revenue growth, we remain focused on leveraging it to improve our EBITDA margins. As Rajat mentioned, at the asset level, the delivered EBITDA margins are 41.2%. Within that, the same store assets achieved an EBITDA margin of 42.2%. ACIC is almost touching about 40%. As discussed in past calls, we are working on a few fronts to deliver strong growth in addition to what we expect from our same store assets. And I think the first part of that is pretty transformational, in which we are changing the whole portfolio construct, where the upper upscale and upscale hotel portfolio, through various steps, will double in inventory from about 1,000 current rooms to over 2,000 rooms. It is important to note that this segment of hotels operate at a much higher revenue per room as compared to our current portfolio average. This increase in inventory is happening via the following. Work has started to add 54 rooms in Sheraton Hyderabad and 22 rooms in Hyatt Regency Pune. These shall be completed in FY26, and since these are part of existing operating hotels, this stabilization timeline shall be very rapid. Next, we are repositioning two of the upper mid-scale ACIC assets in Pune and Jaipur, adding to about 330 rooms into a courtyard by Marriott and the second hotel in the Tribute portfolio by Marriott. The 217-room courtyard in Pune will therefore be the second courtyard in our portfolio, following the hugely successful courtyard by Marriott in Bangalore Outer Ring Road. The W Hotel in High Tech City, Hyderabad, and the Western Tribute Combo Hotel in Bangalore Whitefield will together add about 530 rooms in key and high-performing micro-markets. We have witnessed both of these micro-markets, which is High Tech City and Whitefield, perform very strong over the past few quarters. In our upper mid-scale portfolio, we are adding about 80 rooms to our existing Fairfield by Marriott in Chennai's Sri Perumbudur. The existing 153-room hotel has seen strong performance within our portfolio, and after this expansion, that hotel would be 230 rooms. Lastly, in our mid-scale or the Holiday Inn Express portfolio, we have seen successful renovation and rebranding of the erstwhile Cassia Pro into Holiday Inn Express with 133 rooms. This hotel reopened in December 2024 and is gradually capturing market share within the Greater Noida precinct. The other 170-odd rooms in Calcutta and Whitefield, Bangalore are fully ready and waiting for final approvals, which are expected shortly. We also continue to make good progress for asset recycling as discussed on our earlier calls, and this will help us reallocate the capital for both better margins and improved ROCEs. I would request participants to access our Q3 FY25 investor presentation that has been uploaded to view some of the images of the growth projects we are working on. This will give you a good idea on how we are transforming our portfolio and its impact on the financial outlook. With this, I shall open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congrats Ashish team on another quarter of operational turnaround. So Ashish, my first question is on the broader markets. We've seen about 3 or 4 years of very strong performance on the luxury, luxury hotel rooms. Increasingly, do you think that next 2 to 3 years will possibly see the mid-scale and the upscale segment doing potentially better than the luxury segment? And in that context, how do you think about potential RevPAR outperformance for your portfolio compared to, let's say, the luxury hotel rooms in the next 2 to 3 years?
So thanks, Karan. You're absolutely right. We've now seen, I guess, about 8 to 9 quarters of strong performance. The early indicators for the current quarter continue to indicate pretty strong growth on a year-on-year basis. We think the occupancy levels are now mid-70s in several markets touching high 70s. If you were to break that within day of the week occupancy, we're seeing weekdays doing anywhere between 80 to 90% occupancy levels in some of our key markets and hotels. And therefore, that really leaves the room for rate growth. I think in terms of segment performance, Karan, we feel that for the next several quarters, all segments will continue to perform well. Having said that, we believe that the inventory position that we have created in Bangalore and Hyderabad and the future supply that we are bringing through the W in Hyderabad, the Westin Tribute in Bangalore, I think that will have a substantial impact on how SAMHI's performance turns around over the next few quarters and years, because these are undisputedly some of the best performing markets, not just in terms of hotel performance, also in terms of office absorption and airline growth. So I think our excitement is stemming from the fact that we've secured the right growth pipeline in cities which are fairly well poised for continued RevPAR growth. And you will see the impact of that starting this year when we add rooms to, let's say, Sheraton Hyderabad. Next year when we start, FY27, when we start seeing the opening of W in High Tech City Hyderabad, and then, of course, beyond that, the Westin in Bangalore.
Sure. This is helpful, Ashish. My second question pertains to your net debt. So we've seen about almost 2 billion rupees increase this quarter, and your net leverage is at about 21 billion, which is your peak net debt guidance as well. Do you still maintain the 4.5x net debt EBITDA for FY25 and 3.5x for FY26? And as a follow-up, do you also see any potential asset recycling opportunities materializing soon, in which case the leverage or the net debt to EBITDA potentially could be at a lower level?
So, Karan, first, just to be clear, you are absolutely right. We have the peak leverage levels right now because we've already accounted for the capex we've spent on Bangalore acquisition in Hyderabad. Now starting quarter four, all of the capex that we're incurring in development of these assets is coming from our internal accruals and free cash. With that, we remain fairly confident of achieving the 4.5 times net debt to EBITDA on a reported basis end of the current fiscal year. And then subsequently, because our EBITDA growth is pretty substantial, we expect that to quickly deaccelerate to the 3.5 net debt to EBITDA levels. So we are absolutely on track. And to add to that, I did make a comment, Karan, that we are making good progress on asset recycling. We believe that as we start that program, that will obviously further assist our ability to, further accelerate the deleveraging, which means that the path to that 3.5 times could be slightly quicker, based on the success of that asset recycling. And we are making good progress so far.
Sure. My third and last question, you've rebranded Caspia Pro in Greater Noida to Holiday Inn Express. So if you can talk a bit about how has been the change in terms of the ARRs at RevPAR since last week of December when you rebranded this into a Holiday Inn Express.
So currently, Holiday Inn Express Greater Noida opened in December 2024. So it's just about a month. Just give me a second. I'm just looking at the performance data. So this hotel used to operate at a rate of about 2,300 rupees. Early numbers, and that's because it's just the first few days. The hotel is currently trading month to date at about 5,600 rupees. So we have seen a 2x growth, but word of caution, quarter four is undoubtedly the best quarter at least our company tends to see because of how business travel stacks up in this current quarter. So I am not guiding people to think that Holiday Express, Greater Noida will sell at 5,600 rupees. But it's just that it has transformed into a 2X change with renovation and rebranding.
Sure. This is helpful, Ashish. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the queue, we request you to please restrict your questions to two per participant. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. We have the next question from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Ashish. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand a bit more on the ACIC side, what has been the revenue growth? You spoke about muted RevPAR growth over there. So that means it's been absolutely flat. And second would be, what really was happening in terms of, you spoke about transition and all, but on the ground, what really was happening, which actually prevented us from growing on the ACIC portfolio, given the strong tailwinds across the hotels that we are currently seeing?
Supranand, thank you for your question. So let me first assure you, what we are seeing is a part of the plan and not either a surprise or a disappointment. So just to give you numbers, during the quarter that we just reported, the total income in ACIC remained flat vis-a-vis the same quarter last year, but the EBITDA margins expanded by about, actually the growth in EBITDA was about 10% with a margin expansion of 300 basis points. So what had happened was that till about October, November, this assets were franchised, and in November they transitioned to Marriott managed. All the efforts towards restructuring the organization, change in food and beverage has now been implemented, and that's why even on a flat revenue, we have delivered almost a 10% EBITDA growth. The second thing which happened, Pradyumna, and it is really standard when you transform a hotel from franchise to manage, is you tend to draw a lot of business which is low rated and not high margin. So the first thing one needs to do is to free up the bandwidth to secure the high rated, high margin business. But the first step has to be to lose and let go of the low-rated, low-margin business. So that has happened in the last quarter. You will see the revenue growth coming into this portfolio starting the current quarter because now all of that cleanup has happened. A lot of low-rated accounts have been now flushed out of the system. So it's a part of the plan which is delivering us margin expansion, EBITDA growth, and starting quarter four, as we start seeing revenue growth coming into this portfolio, you will then see a significant flow-through impact onto the bottom line.
Understood. And just to follow up here, so the muted revenue growth was account of lower occupancies or lower muted ARR growth, or was it a combination of both?
Actually, if you ask me, pretty much the same. Both are flat, and so is the F&B income also, right? So it's actually, when I'm looking at the data here, we are seeing occupancy remain flat, the rate also kind of remained flat, and F&B income was exactly the same, 13.2 crores for the quarter. So overall metrics were kept flat, but the EBITDA went from 19 crores to 21 crores.
All right. And my last question is regarding the CAPEX plan for FY26 and FY27. If you could just give the broad numbers, that would be really helpful.
So FY25, we have now obviously, we had made a lot of investments. In the current quarter, we only expect about 20-odd crores of capital expenditure, which is quarter four. For the next fiscal year, we have approximately 200 crores of capital expenditure, of which about 50 crores will go towards the new rooms opening in Sheraton and Hyatt Regency. And the good news is that that capital expenditure brings immediate profits because these are existing operating hotels. And then the balance, about 125 odd crores, 140 crores, is between the W Hyderabad and the Tribute and Westin Bangalore Whitefield.
FY27 plans you have, or
that's new? About 150 crores a year for FY27, FY28 for us to be able to deliver the Westin in Bangalore in FY29 as we have indicated. So for both FY27 and FY28, you expect about 150 crores annualized capital expenditure.
All right, all right. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jinesh Joshi from PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just one observation from my side. Our same store RevPAR growth is about 15%, but our revenue growth is 11%, which perhaps indicates that the F&B revenue growth in this quarter was a bit subpar. Now, given in this quarter, the MICE revenue typically tends to be higher given the concentration of wedding dates. Any reason why the F&B revenue growth was lagging this time around? And also in this context, how should we think about F&B growth going ahead?
Yeah, so I think a very good question. So I'll just further break. So first of all, absolutely yes. RevPAR growth of 15% resulting in a TR, total revenue growth of 11% means lower than 11% F&B growth. So we have seen F&B grow at about 5% on a year-on-year basis. Now, within that, what is interesting is that we've seen the venue revenue, which is what you're referring to, the meeting spaces, the ballrooms and all of that, has actually grown at 13% year-on-year. So you've seen reasonable growth in the MICE or the events-related business. It is the specialty restaurants, the outlet income, which has remained almost flat, right? So we have seen some sort of flattening of revenues in the outlet revenues. I cannot really necessarily, I think it's too early to blame external factors. Give us a quarter or so, we are reviewing internally both our pricing, product, probably some marketing efforts that we need to make in 3 or 4 specialty restaurants that we have. You know, our total F&B contribution is just about 25-26%. It's not very substantial, but we see opportunities to improve the outlet revenues because we don't really see a problem per se, as you mentioned, in the overall MICE or the events revenue.
Got that. And sir, in the opening comments, you also mentioned that the ECIC portfolio is expected to shift from the franchisee route to the management contract route in November. So with the shift happening, what kind of RevPAR growth are you expecting given the fact that in the 9 months, your number on the ECIC side was relatively flattish?
So I think the main focus now is, so first of all, the whole transition has been completed. All the organization changes that needed to be made, I would believe 90% of those changes have been fully completed so far. The focus therefore now is completely repricing the assets. Our expectation is that from current quarter, you'll start seeing the RevPAR growth coming in, actually the rate growth coming into the ACIC portfolio. Occupancies are at 72-73%, so they are pretty stable and good. You will see a churn of the rate mix, and I think in FY26 you should expect 9-11% total revenue growth in ACIC.
Sure. And last question from my side, and the margin rejig exercise in ACIC, is it fully complete, or do you think that further elements in terms of cost rejig are yet to be pending, which can lead to further improvement in margins? Because I believe this 9-11% RevPAR growth, the flow through to EBITDA will be there from this element. But anything from the cost side which can lead to an improvement in the margin is what I want to understand.
Oh, so I think on cost, we have, so whatever you're seeing with flat revenue, we have got the margins up from almost 32% to 40% now. Going forward, the margin expansion will really be an result of flow-throughs from incremental revenue. So first of all, we do definitely see the margins in ACIC portfolio cross 40% remain there for an annualized basis. You know, you'll always see quarter one, quarter two being slightly lower. But I think for a full year basis, you'll see ACIC definitely cross 40% plus. But that movement from, let's say, 39% for the quarter or for the last year, let's say 36-37%, 240% is now going to be largely a factor of flow-through of incremental revenues.
Got that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Khanna from Kotak. Please go ahead. Mr. Abhishek Khanna, your line has been unmuted.
Yeah.
You may proceed.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. I just wanted to check. I understand this Caspia Delhi is going for renovation starting January, as you mentioned in the presentation. Could you share what was the contribution to earnings in terms of, let's say, the revenue or EBITDA for this hotel annually, if any?
1 crore. That's it.
Negligible. Got it. And when do you expect to complete this renovation? Broadly a year or so? Is that how?
Yeah, that's about a year. Our Fairfield portfolio today, Abhishek, delivers us an EBITDA in a cool of about Fairfield portfolio.
Fairfield portfolio will be around 12 lakhs.
EBITDA per key? Yeah. So our Fairfield portfolio does an EBITDA per key of about 10 to 12 lakhs. We do expect this hotel to kind of be positioned on the lower end of that. So I will say closer to the 9-10 lakhs per EBITDA per key. Effectively, Abhishek, this hotel was being kept operational because of licensing issues, and that's why the EBITDA was just about a crore of rupees. As we renovate this hotel, and it's a pretty quick light renovation to Fairfield, we do expect the contribution from these 140 rooms to be materially different to what we've seen in the past. It's an FY26.
Got it. And second, on slide 10 of your presentation, where you've given the waterfall from the asset income and the asset EBITDA 3Q24 to 3Q25, it says the acquisition contribution is 56 million. Does that include ASIC and Trinity both? Isn't that too less? And the EBITDA contribution is 4 crores odd. You mentioned in the notes that it is ASIC plus Trinity. Is it both of them or just Trinity?
Both. Because ACIC, we will take to same store starting 1st April. Yeah. So once we complete the fiscal year for just the sanctity of the numbers, from 1st April or 1st quarter of FY26, ACIC will be kind of included in the same store. Till such point, ACIC and Trinity both are adding up to that acquisition impact.
Does that mean 960 keys plus 140 keys of Trinity were generating 6 crores of quarterly revenue and 4 crores of quarterly revenue?
Additional.
So,
you're right. ACIC remains flat. Okay. And therefore, large amount of incremental revenue that you're seeing is actually from Trinity.
Oh, so, you're saying the first bar, which is 2692 for asset income, includes part of the ASIC income in this one?
That's right. Because that was reported. Absolutely.
Got it. And the last question from my end, while you've given the capex plans for the next 3 years, 200 and 150 crores each for the year after that, that broadly adds up to what you've given as the planned capex for the Hyderabad and the Bangalore hotels. From what I remember, I think 150 to 200 crores for Hyderabad and probably 300 odd crores for Bangalore existing plus new. Is that all the capex that you plan to do, or there's some additional capex that you do that you will do for the renovation, etc., and the addition of existing keys that you're doing on the portfolio that you already have?
So, Abhishek, I'll just add to what I said earlier. So, if you see the total capex plan for Bangalore continues till FY29, okay, and when you're adding a whole block of rooms, a large part of that capex actually ends being not really back-ended, but like spent towards the completion of the project and FF&E and other items, right? So the current 200 to 20 crores for FY26, 150 each for FY27, FY28, and then of course the Western Bangalore going into FY29 gives us the whole pool of capital which is required for next year. Sheraton and Hyderabad room additions, we need about 50 crores for that. It is required for some bit of the renovation in Caspia Delhi, for instance, is a very low. It's about 8 lakh, 10 lakh, per key, about 14 crore renovation that we are envisaging for Caspia Delhi. And the rest is basically going towards the Westin and the W. Don't forget, we already have assumed in our, of course, we don't give a guidance, but in our internal business plan, our financial statement already carries approximately 40 to 50 crores of expense that we take through a P&L, and that pretty much captures all capital expenditure that is needed to be incurred in our existing operating portfolio. So in addition to the capex that we are setting aside outside of the P&L, our P&L always carries a significant amount of charge towards capital expenditure, both maintenance and sometimes slightly longer term, and that number will be about 40 to 50 crores.
Got it. So just confirming, the next 2 years of 150 crores each would also probably include some towards, let's say, expansions at Chennai and the other hotels that you do, right?
That's right.
With the balance for Bangalore being slightly there in FY29 is how it is.
Only for Western Bangalore. The W will be fully spent in FY26 and FY27. We're pretty much on track to open that hotel in FY27 right now. So W has to have go through the capital expenditure through this period. The renovation of the existing hotel in Trinity is not a high amount, and that will also be done in FY27. FY27, early FY28, and Westin goes in FY29. That's in terms of staggering.
Okay, perfect. That's helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants who are joining the question queue are requested to please restrict your questions to two per participant. Please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. We have the next question from the line of Shubham Ajmera from SOIC. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just had a question that in quarter four, do we see our top line growth reverting to 10 to 15% level in quarter four?
We are seeing pretty good business on books, Shubham. But I'd like to abstain from giving a very definitive guidance. But I can for sure say that looking at the business on books today, and we still have 60-odd more days to go in the current quarter, the total revenue growth does remain higher than what we've seen for the prior quarter.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And basically, second question was, when we look at the EBITDA margins of our hotel versus some of the other listed hotels, do we expect that even our EBITDA margins will start inching towards 41 to 42% level?
Yes, absolutely. No doubt about it. Actually, we don't like too much of breaking the numbers because it looks like unnecessary justification. But if you look at our upscale portfolio, which is very stable, you know, there is no new addition, no ACIC. We actually see EBITDA margins of what, 43-44% there. As we integrate ACIC, as some of the mid-scale hotels starts to improve performance, I think the least we expect is the number that you just mentioned.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you and all the best for the next financial.
Thank you, Shubham.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashovardhan Agarwal from Arthya Wealth and Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations on the successful number and thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the debt. So again, you've explained that how a net debt to EBITDA will look like, but in terms of actually debt, so sir, you can talk about that, how is our debt reduction plan to work and the absolute debt that you are expecting by the FY26, 27, 28. So you can talk on that.
Yes, I think I only partly got your question, which is the first part, that how do we intend to reduce our debt, right? Can you repeat the second part of the question?
You were saying probably from the
Sorry to interrupt. Yashovardhan, before you ask your question again, we request you to please check the mode that you're using on the handset. You do sound a little muffled.
Yeah. Is it better now? Okay.
Please go ahead.
Yes. So my question is that you have explained the net debt that we are expecting in FY 25, 26 and 27 end. But can you please talk about the absolute number that you would be seeing in the year end? And what is the roadmap towards the reduction of it? Because we have just highlighted the CAPEX plan. So if you can talk more on that.
Absolute debt reduction, right? Okay. So as of today, our gross debt is about 2,200 crores, which has remained pretty much the same for the last several quarters. Our net debt has increased on account of utilization of cash for the acquisition in Bangalore, Hyderabad, and capital expenditure towards the opening of the 2 or 3 Holiday Inn Express hotels that we have. So our gross debt has remained absolute. There could be marginal changes quarter on quarter on account of overdraft limits being drawn and deposited, so on and so forth, but largely it's remained the same, right? In terms of the gross debt level, it will obviously come down on account of two factors. One is the fact that we continue to make scheduled repayments to our term loans on a yearly basis. So there is a part of the cash that the business generates which is used towards repaying the gross debt, right? The second is, of course, the fact that if you look at our current cash production being done by the company, interest expense and capital expenditure, we expect that we will always maintain a slight surplus, which will further go towards further reducing our net debt. And the last but not the least, a potential impact of an asset recycling, where when we, let's say, sell an asset, and all of that cash either goes towards reducing gross debt or comes as cash in the company reduces the net debt, you know, the asset recycling will further allow us to reduce the net debt, right? Now, in terms of an absolute number of where we expect the gross or the net debt to be over the next, let's say, 3 years, we actually think that will be closer to 1,700-1,800 crores of net debt over the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years, and that will be a factor of really the cash generation, some asset recycling. So we see 1,700-1,800 crores of net debt in the business, and this is without any, so to say, expectation of a capital raise or an external capital.
Okay, so but this is after considering the asset recycling that we are trying, right?
Yeah, some bit of asset recycling. The amount from asset recycling, as we've indicated earlier, is not very substantial, about 200 odd crores. So about 200 crores from asset recycling, and the balance, let's say about 100, 150 crores, is the incremental cash that the business will generate because of the efforts we are making. So that will take our net debt from 2,000 crores to about 1,700 crores.
Got it, sir. Actually, in terms of asset recycling, if you can share how many rooms are you expected to recycle? So in terms of total room that we could see after next, let's say, 1 or 2 years, if our asset recycling strategy is successful, what will be the total reduction in number of rooms?
Oh, so... The assets that we are considering for asset recycling have to follow the following criteria. Number one, the contribution of EBITDA from those assets should be, minuscule, and therefore they really don't impact the path that we've set for the company in terms of where it is headed in terms of revenue, EBITDA, and PAT. So these are assets which don't really contribute significantly to our current revenue or EBITDA. Second, obviously we want to recycle capital in markets where, we believe in the market, but we believe we have a better opportunity of that capital going to some other markets, right? So we expect the room count to be not substantially different, Yash. I would think the cumulative rooms across these assets that we would recycle would be perhaps 200, 250 rooms. We're adding far more inventory in our portfolio, and the recycling is being done of assets which are in the mid-scale space, and therefore their revenue contribution is also not substantial.
Got it, sir. And so just one last question, if you can share the RevPAR growth city-wise for Bangalore, Hyderabad, Pune and Delhi.
Okay, so I'll just give me a second. So we saw for the quarter ending December 31st, Hyderabad RevPAR growth was 24%, Bangalore was 20%, Pune was 17%. Yeah, that's the RevPAR growth that we've seen. We have seen some smaller markets grow disproportionately, like Vizag at 28% and Coimbatore at 31%. But I don't take those things. I take those things with a pinch of salt because there is a base which is playing into those numbers, right? They started from a very low base. So my excitement continues to be about Hyderabad being at a very large base last year and yet growing in 24% RevPAR year on year. Same for Bangalore. Our Bangalore hotels are some of the best performing hotels in the portfolio, and yet we saw a RevPAR growth of 20% year on year, and that's for same store. So no impact of acquisitions and disposals on that. And Pune also remained pretty impressive at actually 17% RevPAR growth.
Got it, sir. So, sir, our RevPAR performance is in line with the industry.
Please rejoin the queue for further questions. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Singh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, going to the page 18 of PPT, can you please explain me what are the new projects or new keys that we are adding in FY25 and 26? For instance, serial number 2, Hotel Inn Express Kolkata, that belongs to the new opening category. So that will be new keys, right?
That's right.
And the conversion will be just the conversion from X to Y, right?
Yeah. So good question. Let me clarify it for you and Nakul, just help me here. So in FY25, Greater Noida was a conversion. Yes. Does not change the total inventory reported by us. The Calcutta 111 rooms and the new 56 rooms in Bangalore Whitefield, adding up to about 170 rooms, is incremental inventory.
Yes.
FY26, the 54 rooms in Sheraton Hyderabad and 22 rooms in Hyderabad and Pune are new rooms. They are not renovated. They're actually increased in the inventory. So we see about 80 odd rooms or 76 odd rooms improving in FY26. Then if you look at Pune, Caspia, Delhi, Four Points, Jaipur, these are all conversions. So they don't change the total inventory. The Fairfield My Marriott Chennai Sri Perumbador, which is 86 rooms, is again an additional inventory which will add to that total count. And then of course, the W Hyderabad 170 rooms is a completely new hotel. And in Westin and Tribute portfolio, Bangalore Whitefield, of the intended 362 rooms, 142 is existing to be rebranded. And the balance 220 odd rooms is the new inventory. So that's really, I'll take you through the entire summary of growth projects, where there is a conversion and where there is actually an impact on the total inventory.
All right, I got my answer. Thank you.
Thanks, Aditya.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kaushik from Trader Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi Ashish, actually I want a medium-term perspective. 3 years out, where do you see the revenue number and the EBITDA margin number 3 years out?
So Kaushik, we'll not give a guidance on 3 years forward, but I do refer you to page number 17 of our presentation. If you look at how we are transforming the portfolio construct, Kaushik, right, all the answers lie therein, right? So, for instance, we have 1,000 rooms currently operating at 43 lakhs per key. We have 2,100 rooms operating at about 22 lakhs per key revenue. And we have about 1,500 rooms operating at about 12 lakhs per key. When you look at the portfolio construct 3 years forward, even if I take the same revenue per key that I get today, this demonstrates about a 35% overall revenue growth, right? So, if we are doing about 1,100 crores today on a trailing 12-month basis, there is about a 34-35% embedded growth just as to how the portfolio is transforming. And I'm estimating or I'm making an assumption that total revenue growth is now zero from now till then. Because that's one place where I think as a management, we kind of have our own point of view, which is that revenue growth will remain to be in high single digits to early double digits. But that calculation is fraught of forecasting risk. But what we're very certain is just the reconstruction of the portfolio has an embedded 35% revenue upside, for which A, we don't need to acquire anything further. B, we don't need any capital, debt or equity. And all of that is going to be funded through both internal efforts and internal accruals.
Great.
Sorry, I'm not giving you a number.
No problem.
17 has a number.
Yeah. I got the direction. And the next question is some longer-term question. So how do you see Sami being a operator, right, hotel operator? How do you see in the next, longer-term, what is your ambition to scale number of keys or to churn more number of EBITDA? What is your vision or aspiration as a Sami brand? That's all I need.
Sami, first of all, we don't chase vanity numbers like number of rooms, Kaushik. I'll be very honest. We clearly want to create a company of substance, and the substance will reflect in revenue, in operating margins, which is EBITDA, and also the earnings really, which is the PAT. Okay. And I think where we have positioned the company today, which is a good base of hotels, substantial growth, which has already been sort of acquired over the last 2 years, free cash coming from the business, I'm fairly confident that we will unlock tremendous value both on P&L and also on the balance sheet, right? And what we unlock in the P&L will be reflected in terms of revenue and EBITDA, and what we unlock in the balance sheet will be obviously then flow through to our PAT and net earnings, right? So we believe that in the next, let's say, 5 odd years, this company will be nothing of what you see today because of the internal capabilities that we have created, both on growth and also on how we will continue to strengthen our balance sheet.
Great, great. But we'll be growing at 10 to 12% CAGR consistently and turning higher EBITDA margin, right? That is how we'll be positioning for 5 odd years.
Yeah, so Kaushik, again, we'll do the math. If we just have to come to office in the morning, be here till 9 in the evening, work hard, work honestly, and you have 35% growth on slide number 17 without markets growing even 1%, right? If the markets grow at 6, 7%, you know that 35% growth can easily become 50, 55% growth over the next 3 to 4 years. So that really gives you that early double digits total revenue growth. We have so far, if you look at our quarter-on-quarter presentations, and we try and explain same store separate to total portfolio, but we have always delivered almost at 1.25 to 1.4 multiple of EBITDA growth over revenue growth. So which means if our revenue growth is 10%, the EBITDA growth in a bad quarter will be 12.5-13%, in a good quarter will be 14-14.5%. So we think that we have the right ingredients now to sustain that growth over the next 4 to 5 years. And as I said, without much dependencies on external environment.
Good, good. All the best, Ashish.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephones. The next question is from the line of Yash Darak from RSPN Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead. Yash, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Hello.
You may proceed, sir. You are audible.
Yeah. So, sir, my question is how is Q3 based on the occupancy seasonally weak quarter, because as we are not a business hotel and because of the holidays, corporate holidays, we see a dip in the occupancy in Q3?
Yes, are you asking, do we see a dip in occupancy in quarter three?
Yes, yes.
So, quarter three is probably the second best quarter for our business traditionally, quarter four being the best, and you're right. Quarter three tends to kind of be slightly lower because we have the two holiday seasons, Diwali Dasara and Christmas New Year. So we do see some redundancies in our business hotel portfolio, and which is most of our portfolio, in that quarter, whereas quarter four, once people go back to work, we tend to see pretty strong performance through that, right? But I would think the occupancies remain, if you look at last year, quarter three was 72.6% portfolio occupancy, same store, and quarter four was 77.2%. So quarter three is same as quarter one and quarter two in terms of occupancies. The rate does tend to move 10% up because on non-holiday days you have strong demand. And in quarter four, you obviously take advantage of the fact that you have high occupancies and good rates, but you don't really get to lose that, I would say, almost 3 or 4 weeks, depending on, you know, between Diwali, Dasara, Christmas, New Year. Dasara, Diwali, of course, one needs to be cautious, follows Hindu calendar. So may sometimes be on the edge of quarter two and quarter three, sometimes squarely in quarter three. To that extent, quarter four is always a better quarter for us than quarter three.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And last question is on the bookkeeping side. So if there was not this one-off cost in the interest of 6.5 crores, so our interest would have been around 55 crores. Is that understanding right?
Yeah, so actually, Yash, the interest was 55 crores. This loan that we refinanced, where the pricing went down from 12% to 9.5% to 9.3%, the upfront fee that we had paid to that lender 2 years back, that was amortized over the tenure of the loan. But because we refinanced the loan much earlier, the unamortized portion had to be taken as an expense to our P&L. So that 6.5 crores was a completely non-cash impact on the P&L. The actual interest expense was still about 55 crores.
Got it. Got it. Thank you so much.
Actually, interest cost is slightly lower. That's total finance cost, including some of the leasehold accounting impact which comes in our P&L finance cost.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Yash.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Bairathi from Flute Aura Enterprises Private Limited. Please go ahead. Akshat, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question. Mr. Akshat Bairathi, are we audible to you? As there's no response from the current participant, we will move to the next question, which will be from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So you said that interest cost has come down. So though this quarter it was 55, so it can come down in the coming quarter?
In quarter four. It should come down in the coming quarter because this quarter actually had this one-time hit. Otherwise, in general, it will also be reducing because of the fact that the overall cost of borrowing also from the previous quarter has gone down. We are now at a weighted average cost of 9.4%. So our overall actual interest cost that is serviced into the bank, not the one which is actually the P&L hit, will be certainly reach about 50-odd crores, plus the other, as Ashish said, the lease expense and other things. We are looking at a reduction in what was reported as the finance cost in the quarter three. Vis-a-vis that, the quarter four will be definitely lower.
And sir, the second question about recycling. So have you identified any of the assets which you want to recycle or has done some exercise or what?
Yeah, so we have identified the assets. Our confidence stems from the current conversations and offers that we have, which we are obviously negotiating and doing further diligence in terms of actionability. So assets have been identified. We have a bank who's helping us with the process, and we have some degree of interest which gives us the confidence about committing to the asset recycling approach.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darya Trivedi from DJD Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Ashish and team, and congratulations on walking the talk as far, you know, as far as the numbers are concerned. Now, I had a couple of questions. One is, are we expecting any revenue loss in FY27 when, you know, the 4 points Pune and the Caspia Delhi converts to Courtyard and Fairfield respectively?
Not really. So, Caspia Delhi, of course, no impact because that hotel hardly contributed anything to our numbers, at least in terms of EBITDA. The 4 points in Pune conversion is being done on a phase-wise manner. And actually, if you see the revenue improvement that we are seeing because of the conversion to Marriott Managed, pretty much covers for the part inventory that we'll keep taking for renovation during the year. So we really don't see any, there could be marginal, but nothing material in terms of the impact of renovations on the performance of the hotel.
Understood. And what would be the EBITDA per key for the Holiday Inn portfolio for Noida, Kolkata and Bangalore, the weighted EBITDA per key?
So the weighted average EBITDA per key for the Holiday Inn Express portfolio is about
5.2 lakhs.
5 lakhs per key. So let's break it up. Greater Noida is an average market so far in terms of performance within our portfolio. We're fairly excited that even though we are adding only 56 rooms in Bangalore, the room size there is actually significantly larger than our existing hotel. And we are going to price that at a substantial premium to our existing hotel. So in terms of weighted average, the impact of the 56 rooms may almost be equivalent to that of a 75-80 room hotel. Right? And Calcutta is a good market, especially at that price point. So the overall inventory addition of 330-odd rooms should operate at or at premium to the current average in terms of EBITDA per key.
Okay, and as far as Sheraton Hyderabad and Hyatt Regency Pune, fair to assume roughly 20 to 22 lakh per key EBITDA?
The MICE won't come here, so around 20.
Yeah, 20 lakhs per key. So Sheraton, we are very excited, Daria, because it's a market which has been doing really well. I just gave the numbers earlier where Hyderabad RevPAR growth was 24% in the last quarter. And therefore, in such a strong market with no new supply, when you immediately add about 55 odd rooms to an existing operating hotel, two things happen. A, of course, the revenue per key is pretty much the same that you get in an existing hotel. The flow-throughs from that revenue should be, in our opinion, upwards of 60%, because if the existing hotel is operating at a 43%-44% EBITDA margin, then a lot of sunk cost is captured by that, and the new room should operate at a fairly high margin, right? So Hyderabad is very exciting, adding those 55 rooms. By the way, the current quarter did see a negligible reduction in our rental income because those offices are the spaces we are converting to the additional rooms. But you know, as I said, by September, October, we have those rooms open well in time for H2. And same for Pune, where we've seen a RevPAR growth of 17% in the last quarter. We are actually adding 22 apartments. So these are between studio, one-bedroom, two-bedroom apartments. And we actually think that they should continue, they could perform really well. So at minimum, we should expect about a 20 lakhs per key EBITDA on those assets starting H2 FY26.
Got it, got it. Which means that, you know, the W Hitec City Hyderabad, when it opens, I think it should be much higher, given that it's an upper upscale asset.
So listen, let's take some numbers for context. Our Courtyard in Bangalore, Outer Ring Road, does an EBITDA of about 31 lakhs per key, you know. It's clearly an outperformer. It has a rate of 16,000 rupees, high occupancies. But what we have seen, interestingly, in our Fairfield in Hyderabad, Gachibowli, it is ramping up really quickly, trying to catch up with our Fairfield in Outer Ring Road, Bangalore, right? So it's almost a race that Fairfield, Bangalore used to be at a rate of 8.5. Fairfield, Hyderabad was at a rate of 5.5. Fairfield, Hyderabad has gone at a rate of 7.5. Fairfield, Bangalore has gone to a rate of 9.5, right? So we actually think that Hitec City is very mature, very low vacancy, constant news of GCCs opening there. The latest news this morning was McDonald's setting up their global capability center in Hitec City, right? No new supply. I think that market with a brand like W and an operator like Marriott and the location that we have, we should expect it to deliver Courtyard-level performance in future, which is actually 30 lakhs per key.
Got it, got it. And we are expecting this to open in the second half of FY27. Is that understanding right?
Yeah, we should get a quarter plus for FY27 for this hotel.
Okay, okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, Darius.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sri Narayan Mishra from Baroda BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
So my first question is, will it be possible to give the break, ROC breakup between the three segments? I mean, upper upscale, and mid-scale, and upper upscale and upscale.
Yeah, just give us a second, you know. So the, this is Nakul FY25? So the, this is ROCE or NOI? ROCE. So the upscale segment will deliver about 16 odd % ROCE. Actually, if you ask me, it's pretty similar. Actually, it's only the upper mid-scale because of ACIC, which is at about 8-9%. The mid-scale is at about, and the upper upscale is about 15.5-16%. And we actually expect upper mid-scale also to get to about 14-15% once ACIC is fully, you know, we get what we need from ACIC, including conversions and all of that. So yeah, that's the number for you right now. But, you know, one good news, and that only, just disclaimer, it's not our guidance on ROCEs. It's just how good can good be. We have one hotel in our Holiday Inn Express portfolio, in Hyderabad, which is now almost getting to 50% plus ROCE, right? Now, again, I'll repeat the disclaimer, that does not mean that we are saying our portfolio will get to 50%, but often we are asking ourselves that what's the real headroom? And the way we've constructed our portfolio, you know, Karan started with this question, mid-scale, upper mid-scale, upscale, you know, we actually feel that if the RevPAR cycle continues, for which the data demonstrates it should continue, our cost basis is actually very, very low in part of our portfolio. Holiday Inn Express, for instance, is just about 28, 29 lakhs per key, right? We actually can see substantial transformation of the ROCE profile, as you can see the flow throughs go straight to the bottom line and then impact ROCE. So the average is around 14 to 15%. But I was just giving you what we think, how good can good really be when a market and an asset hits bullseye.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for the, I mean, most matured properties which we would have, so what would be the range of ROCE there?
Nakul, go to the cities. I think I'll rather take this question depending on where the city cycle is or a market cycle is. A city like Bangalore for us today, and this will not include Trinity, right?
Yeah.
A market like Bangalore today would be sitting at almost 20% plus ROCE for us as a market. And we have one courtyard, three Fairfield by Marriott, and two Holiday Inn Express hotels. So very well spread in within the city and within the segments. It's about a 20% plus ROCE in that market. You would have markets like Hyderabad touching mid-teens. You would have markets like Delhi NCR now going towards mid-teens. So you typically see a good profile. And as I said, as the markets mature and start delivering a consistent RevPAR and RevPAR growth, the potential is ready to cross that magical 20% number on ROCEs.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. So the second question, last one from me. Reading through FY24 annual report, wherein we have highlighted that ITA and ITAS has been the top contributor to revenues, and we are trying to diversify from that. But our recent properties seem to be in those areas. So how is the concentration now, and are we doing anything about that, or we are happy with that? So IT is growing, so we want to be intentionally high concentrated in that sector.
You know, Sridhar, so first of all, I think we are seeing a reduced contribution from IT/ITS sector generally across our portfolio, and including in so-called high-tech cities like Bangalore and Hyderabad, right? So on a year-on-year basis, we've seen other sectors kind of contributing relatively more to what they were. It's not that the absolute business has necessarily reduced from IT/ITS, but what's happened is that a lot of growth has come in sectors like, and you know, that's where things get a little gray. When we talk about startups, a lot of startups can also be classified in the IT/ITS sector, right? So this classification is, one needs to kind of be a little careful about how precise or indicative it is. But if it is indicative, we've seen IT/ITS contribution receive, giving way to other sectors, smaller companies. It could be healthcare, it could be biotech, it could be defense, it could be infrastructure, it could be BFSI consulting, you know, manufacturing, and also much smaller companies where tracking the sector becomes difficult, right? So these are multiple small accounts. All of them have kind of taken a higher proportion than IT/ITS. So I think it's not that we have a concern around IT/ITS. We actually see an opportunity where our hotels, even in Bangalore and Hyderabad, are continuing to see diversification of where the business is coming from.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jakhanwal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, everybody. We truly enjoyed the Q&A, which I think leaves little for us to conclude with. You know, as I had mentioned earlier, we remain very excited about having put the company on a path where over the next 3 to 5 years, we secure both unlocking value in the P&L and also in the balance sheet. And we look forward to continue to work with all of you as we implement that plan. Thank you, everybody, and talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Samhi Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.